It's so good to be here on a Wednesday night. Tonight, I want to share with you some important things concerning missions and missions to Brazil, as the doors have been opened for us as a church. And I want to just share some things about the trip that I just took and what is coming up in our really close months away future. So I want to pray and ask the Lord to bless our evening, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight, for your heart, Lord. Lord, your heart for the lost, that you would even send your son, knowing what would happen, that he would have to bear the cross and shame for us. Lord, to free us from the bondage of sin, the judgment that is connected to it. Lord, what a message that is, Lord, for a person that understands their condition. And yet, Lord, we pray, God, that you, Lord, as you opened our eyes to see, and you use circumstances, you use things in this life to make us understand our need for you. We pray, God, that in some capacity we can be part of that, Lord, that you desire, and bringing people to the cross and bringing them to that understanding as we have come to understand, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we pray, God, that in some capacity, whether it be here in our own Jerusalem or in, Lord, the surrounding areas, Lord, in America or the uttermost parts, Lord, in different lands, different countries. Lord, I pray for obedience to your Holy Spirit, as, Lord, I know that you desire to lead. And here we are, Lord. I just pray that tonight that you would speak to our hearts. And, Lord, that you would do a work that is needed, Lord, because, Lord, there's a generation, Lord, that is now coming to that point of making decisions. What will they do with their life? And Lord, I pray for the next generation, Lord, that they would come, Lord, desiring the ministry, desiring to be your servants, and even to the point of leaving their own lands, Lord, to become missionaries for you. Lord, you bring that calling upon certain ones, and Lord, as that calling goes out, may they have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And so, Lord, we look to you tonight. We give you thanks that we can gather here. Bless, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me get to the first slide here. Calvary Chapel in Brazil started in around 2002. That was the beginning of the work that was happening at that time. And I really want to talk about what the Lord is, not only what he did then, but what he's doing now. Because we are now going to partake in what is going on in Brazil as the Lord has opened doors. And yet I know, because I and my wife were in that same place. We were going to church. We were serving in some capacity at our church. And we loved doing what we did. We knew everybody at the church. And it was a sweet time. But like many, when it comes to the topic of missions or becoming a missionary, many people would say, oh, not me. I'm not a missionary. I can't do that, you know. And that's exactly what we said. Exactly what we said. And so it's by the power of the Spirit, and it's really a time where you and I as God's people, because one of the things what brings us all in a common thing is our faith. That's what it's all about. We have the same faith. We're putting our trust in our eternal welfare in the same person, Jesus Christ. That's what we have in common. Yet, it's the same Holy Spirit that has come upon each one of us who is leading and guiding us. And yet, it is also believing what the Spirit is saying to us is now becomes a very important thing in each believer's life. And so, one thing I know, because I read this, and I think it's really important, and I don't even know who wrote it, so sorry about that. But I remember reading this, and it said this, he who feeds his faith will starve his doubts to death. Did you catch that? He who feeds his faith will starve his doubts to death. And that's very important in whatever thing you're doing for the Lord, because many people, there's a good portion of people that just come to church, they believe in Jesus, but they would think, oh, I can't do that. That's for them, and that's for her, and she's good at that, and he's great at that. And we always think, it's not me. But those doubts are very dangerous in the life of a believer. In fact, it was Corrie Ten Boom who said this, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. You got to understand, these are some godly people that were in some radical times with her, with the Nazis hiding the Jews, and yet to still, in faith, do the things that she did. And you, if you don't know who she is, you need to read her biography. But then, even in church history, we read about John Wesley, great man of God in England. He said this, Lord, let me not live to be useless. Wow. Those are very important things that men of God have said as they have gone and done what we would say the impossible, especially at that time. To see some of these men who traveled like we do on the turnpike or going across America on highways, they did it on horse. And they went and they preached the gospel. Then there's D.L. Moody. He said this, small numbers make no difference to God. There is nothing small if God's in it. That's another true statement. And yet, you know what? Here's this little church in West Elizabeth, Pennsylvania. What can God do through this church? What? That becomes a question. But if God's in it, his hand is in it, who knows what's going to happen? But I know one thing. Faith has to arise in this time. And then there's the great Hudson Taylor who said this, God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. So it's true. There's a preparing that must happen as we consider the mission field. Because we can't think, oh, we can do this. This is no problem. You know, I can do this. I can do that. No, it's really us stopping and saying, Lord, what do you have? What is in Brazil, in that location that they're asking us to come? How can I minister to that people? I don't know their culture. I don't know their language. How? I'm leaving my comfortable place in America to come all the way down to another continent that speaks another language, has a different culture. In fact, the place where we're going, there's still an area that we drive right past that are so primitive that in their compounds, they still are running around naked like the natives did way back when. They live like that still. So it's interesting, as modern in how we live our life here, there's peoples around the world that the Bible says of every tribe and tongue, they will hear the gospel because those people are in heaven. We see it in the scripture. They will be all these different people. But how are they getting there unless someone is going and sharing the gospel? This is important that we see. I want to open up with this verse, and it's in 1 John chapter 3, and verse 16 to 18. And it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." This is the interesting point, because as we begin to look at some of these slides, we have the city of São Vicente. This is the first city that was colonized by Portugal. Okay? So here's this city, and this is where the first Calvary Chapel was planted. In fact, this shirt that I'm wearing it for a purpose, because this shirt is probably older than many in this room, or some. This is from 2002, when we did our first missions down there in Brazil. Now, interesting is that I love that Calvary Chapel has a vision for missions, and there's Calvary Chapels all over the world. But going to Brazil is something very interesting, because going there, we see that it is an island. When you look at the city, São Vicente, and then Santos is on the opposite end. São Vicente is very old. If you guys have ever done missions in Mexico and you see the roads and the buildings are kind of old and worn down, you know, just how that looks, that is the side on the left. But the side on the east, Santos, is beautiful. I mean, comparing, it is a rich city. It has malls. It has beautiful beaches where you go to the beach. They have tents set up with food, restaurants. The waiters come to you while you lounge on your cot, and they bring drinks, whatever you want. So it's very nice. But on the opposite end, to that green side over there, that is one of the largest slums area. There's, I don't even know how many, thousands and thousands, maybe 100,000 people that just went there, the poor, and put a tent, built from whatever they had. And that is a ministry there. Very dangerous to go in there, but you know what? They let the church go in there to minister to those young kids. It's interesting because the pastor, Celso, on the left, his wife, Tatiana is her name, but they call her Tati. The Lord has used my family a lot with them, because he came from Brazil as my son went and helped start that church. So he met my son first, but then I was in Germany, and we started the Bible college in Germany, and he went there with Pastor David Guzik, and myself and my son were teachers there. So we got to disciple him. And then he got married, found the love of his life, and they tried for 10 years to have a baby. And they did everything, going to doctors. And one time they were visiting, they went to the conference in California, and they stopped by our house, and my oldest daughter, as we were fellowshipping, came to me and said, "Dad, the Lord showed me something." I go, "What?" She showed me that they're going to have a baby next year, a little girl. And I said, "Okay." I go, "Babe, they've been trying for 10 years to have a baby. And no success. But by faith, I want you to tell them." And she goes, "No, Dad, you tell." I go, "No, the Lord showed you. Now you tell them." And she told them, and they started crying. And a year later, they had their little girl, Rebecca. Isn't that awesome how the Lord does this? We can't underestimate what God wants to do. And so I got to tell her when I was down there, the whole story about her and my daughter. And then I FaceTimed my daughter because she was in Germany at that time. And they got to meet. And it was it's a sweet thing how God is working like that. So we see that in self-ascension, they had a vision to plant a Calvary church, and that was the design that they came up with. Well, we went in 2002 with Germans, but we had no tools, and they had the property, and so we found this chopped down tree, and we used the trunk, and we were like a battering ram knocking down the walls. And that made it on the news over there, like these crazy Germans are trying to knock down walls with a tree. And so, you know, it's really serving the Lord no matter what. You know, we didn't have tools at that time. The Brazilians, they didn't have the money to buy tools. And so we began to, with the offerings that we took from Germany down there, we began to use that. And what we did is that we rented a tractor and had a guy come and begin to knock down things and start the work. And I thanked the Lord because we were part of just the beginning. We didn't do it all because there was, praise the Lord, other Calvary chapels that said, "Hey, we want to help and minister and bless the church down there." And that's exactly what happened. And they ended up building this beautiful building, painting it, and this is exactly where I was at a few weeks ago. Now, what it is young men like this. This is Pastor Everton, who's the pastor of the Calvary Chapel we're going to go help. But at this point, he was just a student, a helper at the church. How many pastors and pastors' wives are in this room right now? You don't know. He didn't know he was going to be a pastor. He was just a guy with a shovel digging and doing things, serving the Lord in his capacity at that time. And so I know in this place, in this church here, South Pitt, there are future pastors. I know there's also future missionaries. And all they need to do is see and begin to exercise their faith and hear the calling of God in their lives. Because that's one thing I know, me and Martha, we didn't say, "Oh, I know we're going to be missionaries." No, had no clue. No clue until God called us. So the thing is, in these countries, there's open doors like you cannot believe. Like there is when we're going down in November. These are public schools. They allowed us to go in and do full-on pantomime and preach the gospel. Now, can we do that here in Pittsburgh? I don't think so. But there you can. And so that's an amazing thing. We have opportunities, and we'll talk about that when we get to the point of the next Calvary Chapel we're going to go to. Here, that's when I was young. I had black hair. But look at all, and that goes even further. All those kids received Jesus Christ in a public school, came forward and said the sinner's prayer and received Christ. That's the kind of stuff that is happening in southern parts of America. We got to remember one thing. We're the Americas. Whether Canadian, USA, Mexico, and all southern America, we're the Americas. You can't forget that. And so we have to look and see, okay, how are we ministering to ours? Because you know what? The Europeans are ministering to one another and all that. That's great. And we sometimes will go down even to those type of places. But one thing I do know is this. As we went down, CBI stands for Calvary Bible Institute. That's where I went on this trip. And CBI has now been created, and it has now gone worldwide. This is very interesting. For you that are younger and interested, you can go from here and go to Brazil and join the school there and be taught. Or you could go to Peru, or you could go to Guatemala. They're all over the Americas right now. It is booming. They're in the United States. They're in Europe. They're in the Muslim country areas. God is doing a great work at this moment through the CBIs. And these are a different from Calvary Chapel Bible College, okay, which is very traditional, which I was part of and was teaching at one time. But yet, CBI, because they understand the emergency part about we need to train up the next generation and get them moving, that they're doing a one-year course rather than the Calvary Chapel Bible College was the two-year course minimum. And now they're doing an intensive one-year course, and these kids, I call them kids, but they're in the 20s and 30s, but to me that's a kid, but they are being trained up. And they're becoming active in their churches, whatever country they're coming from, because they're coming from all different countries. And they are, some of them, becoming missionaries to plant churches. And this is an awesome thing. This is what really is a really awesome thing to see with the young people. And being there, I had really a great, great time. I have to tell you that. Because I'm seeing young people. And when I see young people hungering for the Word of God, some of these kids, let me see if I have the picture next. Yes, these are some of them. So for the girls, the Brazilian ones, they're all educated. They all have their degrees. They already went to university. They all have their degrees, but now they're coming here to learn the Bible because they want to use their gifts and their callings for the Lord. And now they're learning the Word, getting grounded in the Word. We have this young guy with the hat to the left of the little kid between his legs. He's from Canada. And he's been going to the CBIs in Latin America. His parents were missionaries, did mission work, I should say. I don't think they were actually out that long, but they did a lot of short-term missions. And now they have their son out there learning and desiring. And this is what's interesting, because he went to Honduras, he went to Guatemala, he went to Peru, and those are all Spanish-speaking countries, and he struggled with the language. But he came to Brazil, and he picked up the language fast. He was speaking fluent Portuguese while I was there. And it just see how God, things like that is showing how God has his hand and he's directing You don't look at those type of things and think nothing of them. That's the Lord preparing this guy. And he's now looking to become, you know, a missionary there in Brazil. And I really took time with him and encouraged him to really think about that, to count the cost. And not only him, but the guy on the left, RJ, he's from Florida. So we got the American thing going on, and me and him hit it off. But he was like, we say in Spanish, chicle, that's a gum. He was like a gum stuck to my shoe. Everywhere I went, he was with me. You know, he wanted to learn how to cook. So I taught him how to cook many things, but he would, while we were cooking, ask me so many questions about ministry and the Lord, and how did you know the Lord was doing this? And they were asking good questions concerning their future. And that's something that you got to think about, because here in America, we're busy. We're so busy, but, you know, of course, we have to prepare for the future, but we have to also think about the Lord. What does the Lord want from our lives? And that's something to consider. So while I was there, I have to say, the girl up here on the right with the little baby girl, she's from Philadelphia. So we had a Philly there. So, and she married a Brazilian. So she's down there, and her father is in ministry at Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia. So it was good to minister to them. I had a really good talks with them as a family. And actually, what was nice is teaching the word every day. It was, except Monday, 4 hours a day. And then on Thursdays, it was 5 hours a day. And then that's just CBI. Because there was other talks in between. And then there was teaching about missions. How do you know God is calling you to the mission? So that was a topic as well. And so these young people loved the word. And while I was there, I taught on angelology, so on the topic of angels, then demonology, and talked about where demons are, where they came from, and how they operate, the works of the demons in our times and throughout history. Very interesting topic, because we're in a spiritual warfare. If we don't get that, we're in big trouble. So this was eye-opening to a lot of them, and not only did we teach on that, but also on Satanology. And in this topic, we have to know our enemy and what the enemy's doing. And so for these young people, it was eye-opening, because actually these topics, most Bible colleges don't teach on this topic for some reason. I don't know, but they don't. So they had so many questions. So we made sure we had at every time we met, we left open a good, at least half an hour of just questions that they had. And it became funny, because one girl, she was against the wall, and she would put sticky notes. She would write down and she put it all, and we could see all of them piling up. And we knew we were going to have a longer session, a question and answer. So that was, to me, a very big blessing. But then at the same time, while there, this is my translator. Everybody, when we go down, we will learn how to work with a translator. So in Brazil, R is the H sound. So his name is Rafael, but you would call him Rafa. We call him Rafa for short. But Rafa is really how you say it in Portuguese. So Rebecca is Rebecca. So you those are easy. You learn those right away, but there are some other pronunciations of words that I never got, but it's okay, because that's why you have a translator. So he's just an awesome brother, and he hung in there because he had to translate quite a bit. So, and then we had, they had me teach on eschatology. And that was interesting because a lot of churches don't talk about eschatology. They don't want to know so much about end times. And it used to be, when Calvary Chapel first started, that was very a big topic, especially with Chuck Smith. He always would teach on the return of the Lord and what is happening before. And so they asked if I would teach on that, and I had a great response. I had many people come and ask questions afterwards, and I was blessed. Because not only did I do it on a Sunday evening, they asked me if I would do another one on the Wednesday evening. And they were excited and fired up. They were, because I use a lot, just like I'm using PowerPoint here, I use a lot of PowerPoints to show my studies, what where I'm getting my information from. And they were all taking pictures. And they came. And they said, we never heard this. I go, good, now you know. Now you do know. So this is what's important, because even though we can be a Calvary Chapel and in different lands, a lot of them, they don't have the same stuff, abilities, or they don't know about compared to a lot what's going on in America. And so it was good to bless them with that. So besides that, of course, I told them, they asked me, are you Mexican? I go, yes, I am. And they said, do you know how to cook? I go, yes, I do. And so usually they don't eat spicy in this region of Brazil, in the south. The north eats spicy, but the south doesn't. So they asked if I would make them Mexican food. And we had to make everything from scratch. The tortillas, go to the beautiful, I have videos, but that would take too long. You should see their farmer's market. Nothing. You haven't seen a farmer's market till you've been there. And they have everything there. Fruits, like 5 different bananas. They have a little banana, you bite into it, tastes like a banana, but after, it has an aftertaste of an apple. Yeah, what? That's what I said. And there were so many fruits and so many things I learned while there. And they're so good for you too. Very powerful and vitamin C and so forth. So I made them Mexican food and they all helped. I have Daniel, this guy in the red. He's from Oregon. And he did pretty well making tortillas. He's a little tortilla maker. So it was good. We had a blessed time. Here's the beaches. This is some of the beaches. This is actually, because I'm from Los Angeles, we have Long Beach there. Well, this is their Long Beach. It's called Long Beach in Portuguese. And it's the longest sandy shore. It's 23 kilometers long of beach area. And you see all the skyscrapers. It's all along. It's because all the, from Sao Paulo, which is a giant city. I mean, Pittsburgh is just like a dot compared to what Sao Paulo is. It is giant. And all those people come to the coast and they either own an apartment or a condo, if you want to call it. And they're empty most of the year. But when it comes to holidays and summers, this place is full. In fact, where we're going, Puibi, is 70,000 population. But when the summer comes and the people come for holiday or vacationing, it goes up to 3.5 to 400,000. From 70 to 400. That's quite a bit. So that's opportunity, though, because people come and you begin to share the Word of God with these people. And so that's the beach, but now here's the mission trip where we're going to. This is Everton. I showed you the picture earlier when he was just a kid at San Vicente, but now he has grown up and he met his wife, Natasha. Natasha is from Ukraine. She was born there, lived there till I think she was 8. And then her parents, because of what was going on at that time, moved to America. And so she lives, and her family is in Washington. And not D.C., Washington State. And she ended up going down to Southern California to the Bible college there. And there is when Everton went to the Bible college there with David Guzik, actually, and ended up falling in love. You know, that's why they call it the bridal college. And they got married, and they have a little girl, beautiful little Gabriella, they call her Gabby, and she is a doll. So they, you can see where they live, Puibi, Santos, you can see on the coast, San Paulo, you can see where that's where we fly into. You come down, and by Santos, there's the First Calvary Chapel. Then we come down the coast to Puibi. And that's where we're going to be going in our mission trip. This is important because, so you see what we're doing, where we're going, what is the vision about this whole trip is something we need to consider. It is beautiful. It's very tropical in nature. In fact, from their coast, from the waters, if you look out, you can see two islands. One of those islands is really famous because it was on one of these TV programs, National Geographic or some one of those. It is called Snake Island. It is an island that has the most venomous snakes in the world. And it's just that they don't know why that island has those snakes. They think pirates hid their treasure there and put all these snakes way back when, and they just populated and they overtook the island. So it's very interesting. But they don't swim, so you don't have to worry about that. They're way out there. But it is interesting. Uh-oh, I think I'm stuck. Oh, here's the church sign outside their doors, Puibi. So it's like Peru, they got their name from. But here they can see how Everton, this young man is believing God has called him there, and he's doing the work. Now, what's amazing is that at the moment, it's in a, this is an old dance studio. It's very clean, very nice, okay? It's not as like in San Vicente. That's an old city, run down, kind of more looking like Mexico. This is more a nice place because they have ordinances that no high rises along the shores. They want to keep it nice and relaxed, and it's really old school style, but it's a beautiful area. And they got this place, and it's very clean. One thing I like about the Brazilians, on both places, service is done. Like, let's say when we finished here, all of you, without me asking, would stack up the chairs and put it to the side. That's just a habit they're into. I was just amazed. So they'll be able to clean the facility. And so they're very orderly in that sense. And yet, okay. Well, this is where Everton took me. Here is this property. And it's not that big, but I would say probably from this wall to the street, probably, almost. This is what they got. Someone gave it to them because they see what God is doing and they want to see the Lord just build this church up. So he's now saying, okay, let's see. They have now put in for permits, and they haven't come yet. And so as we were talking, we just saw him. A lot of the guys here that went to the conference met him at the pastor's conference in Philadelphia. He began to think what God is doing. And he's saying, you know what, Edmund, I don't know if this is the land. I think I should get a bigger place. I think the Lord is going to do something. So he is currently looking at some property and maybe selling this and getting another piece of land that might accommodate them for the future. Because he says, would be locked in. But the only good thing to the right of here is a school, a high school. So we would be able to go in there and minister. So this is something kind of good. So we'll see. The Lord is, he's seeking the Lord on this at the moment. And that is the drawings that they came up with. There's many other drawings, but I did show you this one. And this is what they're thinking. Two stories, sanctuary on the bottom, and the children's ministry on the top. And this is a prefab. This could go up quick. So he was asking us, can you come down and bring guys that can do the finishing, drywalling, maybe some electrical, maybe some plumbing, and help finish the inside and get this whole place ready? And I said, yeah, we got some talented people in South Pitt that can really do that. So that is one thing, but I said, but I want to make sure we're also doing outreach. I like to go into the schools. He goes, oh, yes, the schools will go in. He goes, we have detention centers for young people. We could go in those little places and minister to those kids. There's all these different places we can go and minister to. So, and then do outreach in the city. So this is what we're looking at. We're excited about that. And then I had the ability to teach at his church, and I was there on Mother's Day, and he asked me to teach on moms, and it was good, and I had a lot of smiles on the mom's face, because I got to talk to him about my wife there, and how she's such a great mom, and the difference between a mom and a dad. Moms are special. There's nothing like a mom. And so the Brazilian ladies received it, and it was a really blessed time there. But also, look at that avocado, and that was not the biggest one. Look at that. You talk about guacamole? Oh, man, we made a giant bowl of guacamole. So, and then, of course, they don't have tortillas, so I taught them how to make tortillas, and little Gabriela, she was happy. Her dad was more happy to see her making tortillas. That's what he was really happy. And so she's just a doll, and I just really excited about what the Lord's going to do there. But when I think about missions work, it's important because we got to understand that brings life not only to the people we go to, but even to ourselves, but even more important, to the body of Christ. Because when mission teams go, it's not only the people that go, it's the church. So when I tell you, when we're going to start the sign-ups, but we're also, when we get closer, we will be taking sign-ups for prayer. So the time we wake up to the time we're going to bed, we're going to have time slots for the body of Christ here to be praying while we're there. So you're part of the mission. You're a very important piece of the whole trip. So this is how I think we have to see how we can be a part of a work that we might never see for a long time. Like, I hadn't seen Everton for between 15 and 20 years. He was just a young boy, 20 years old, barely. And now I see him, he's a grown man, started a church and has a wife and a child. And I see him serving in a great capacity. And so you and I could be part of that. Just like in San Vicente, they are now, not only did we help start that, but, you know, other churches going down. Everybody is part of that, that went down by faith, went to serve, blessed them. And now, you know, you leave a piece of your heart there. And every mission trip you go to, you leave a piece of your heart. You'll never forget these people. And yet, now you're seeing them grow, and now they're expanding. And that's the beautiful thing. We're still part of that work. And that's what I want Calvary Chapel South Pitt to experience. And I pray that you will pray about going. But here's a verse, Isaiah 65, verse 1. It says, and this is the Lord, he says, I permitted myself to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I permitted myself to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to the nation which did not call on my name. And yet, you know, here those people are, they were living like tribal, a lot of places. In San Paulo, there, that big city, there's a lot of crime, like any big city, but it is a dangerous city. But we're outside of that area, we're on the coast, and yet, when I think about, you know, there's people there that, you know, their mixture. The mixture is, there was a sect that came out of the Europe, from Portugal, and it's Spiritism, what they learn. But then there is also the tribal stuff, because that's indigenous tribes of Brazilian. But also the Portuguese, when the Portugal people, when they colonized, they also went across, directly across to Africa, and brought a lot of slaves to help build the city. So this is the mixture that you have there. Well, the Portuguese, they, of course, were Catholic. So they forced the indigenous Brazilians, and now the slaves that they brought from Africa, forced them to be Catholic and worship the statues and all the saints. Well, the Africans, they had their gods in their land. So when they came, and they were being forced, they said, okay, but they said, renamed those, you know, St. Christopher and all these different saints that Catholics are involved with, but they changed them to the gods of their land. And they just told the Portuguese, oh yeah, this is a translation of those names. So they were basically still worshiping their gods. And it's an interesting mix there. And yet you can talk to a person who they learned the doctrines from Portugal, and yet they can speak, in a sense, Christianese, but you have to be able to minister to them to make sure they understand the Jesus that we're talking about. This is very different. This is where we have to make sure about that. But anyways, the another thing is, going to this land, it's going to be awesome if you come with us. But you got to listen to what God is saying to you about coming. When you consider mission work, this is something very important, because I can tell you, as the missionary, Martha and I, being in Europe for 18 years, we had many teams over the years come out, and we had great teams. Teams that came and supported us, you know, in all different ways. But when they came prepared and they did outreach, it was a wonderful thing. But then we also had teams that came unprepared. All right? This is why I will not do that. We're going to train and be prepared as a church. And so people signing up, I want you to understand, if you don't have time to do this and be trained, then don't go. Just pray for us and do that. Because I saw teams that were not prepared, and they came, they were not a blessing, they were a burden. And so I don't want to be a burden to the church down there. I want to be a blessing that Calvary Chapel South Pitt came down alongside them and ministered to them and held up their arms and just did what we're supposed to do. And I just know that even in that, going, sometimes short-term mission trips changes a heart and a life. It happened to my wife and I. We only went on a short-term mission trip. I've been to many, but when we went to Germany, God then called us. And so we got to be open to what God is doing. Because one thing I do, there's a quote about missions, and it says this: love is the root of missions, sacrifice is the fruit of missions. Let me say it again. Love is the root of mission, sacrifice is the fruit of missions. It is. You got to have a heart for the people, for the lost. You have a love that is from God, so you would go out. But it is a sacrifice to go. There's things you could be doing. But yet we learn from Romans 10. Let me close with this verse. It says, in verse 13 to 15, it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they be heard without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." And that's what the mission field is. It's not only people going, but there's also another part to it, and that is the senders. And I pray as we begin to go out and we're going to preach the cross of Jesus Christ to a people that maybe never heard. And yet, just like Oswald Chambers said, he goes, "We could talk about the second coming, but half of the world hasn't even heard of the first coming." There's basic things that we're going to have to do. Just ask, do you know what Jesus did when he came? You know, we can't even begin to talk eschatology when they don't even know what Jesus came and did for them. And that's what I pray, that you would be part of this as a church, as I know there is ripe fruit for the pickings, and we just got to go, for the harvest is ready down there. And I pray that you would consider that. As the sign-up sheets will come up on Sunday, and I pray that the Lord will stir your hearts. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would continue that work. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister to each one of us, Lord, as we go our way. Lord, we just want to be doing your will to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There we go, right here. Pray to go or pray to send. Please think about that. God bless.